Somebody's going to go bridge here. It's matter time.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Gombridge Podcast, episode 150. My name is Andrew Gardner, joined alongside by Alex Clausen. Clausen, how are we doing today?
Happy 150. Thanks to those who have stuck along. Here's to another 150. My little anecdote before we start, baseball, as poetic as it is, it only feels fair that we're going into the 2024 season on episode 150, 25 years after Nomar had a breakout 1999 season and started the All-Star game over Derek Jeter. And it only seems right because Nomar is kind of the only reason we're here today.
That is that's a stretch. That's a stretch. But Nomar was a reason we got a good push at the beginning of the show for sure.
He was the reason we got the push.
Him and Derek Jeter way back in 2020. But shout 150 out,
that was
episodes.
Steve Stake?
Yeah, that was Steve Stake. Yeah, I'm trying to remember what exactly he said. I think he was just saying that Jeter is overrated. And that caught the eyes of the Section 10 guys who speaking of Section 10 is back.
We can say that again.
Which I'm going to say, I'm sure everyone's seen. There were a lot of movement in the Red Sox podcasting and broadcasting world these past couple of days, but we're still here, 150 episodes down, a pretty big milestone, pretty pumped about it. And I'm even more pumped about the 2024 season starting in just 2 days. We haven't come out with an episode. It's been about a month. And we did record like episode 150 like 2 weeks ago, and we've been banking on a few guests, and we've kind of been striking out a little bit. And yeah, that's like, we just kind of left that open for that, didn't work out. And then we're just like, we'll just make it the season preview. You know, there's only so much you can talk about in spring training, but I will say we've got guests coming. It just didn't line up.
We took four Prince Fielder hacks at the plate, and we went 0-for-4 in the game. We were swinging for the red seat, and we struck out.
I wouldn't even say struck out. I would say deep fly balls. Like there was we had times booked, like we were good to go, but unfortunately that is the name, that is the name of the game sometimes in this industry. But we have baseball this week, real baseball, which again I'm pumped about. 2024 season, and here's a little nod too, if you've been listening for a while, you may remember back in, I believe it was like early 2021, when the Red Sox were having another quiet offseason, we talked about how 2024 was going to be our year. 3 years in the past. I haven't had a chance to listen back to that one, and I think we were more joking about it, but 3 years later, reflecting on that, how are we feeling coming in to the 24 season?
Significantly worse.
I think we thought, well, no, none of the big time prospects were really, really around.
Well, I think what we expected was who was on that team. So Mookie just left.
Devers. Who was on that team? You had Matt Hall. You had
2020.
Zach. What was that guy? Who was that pitcher they had?
Zach Godley.
My God, I've just completely erased that year from my memory. Jose Peraza. But anyways.
We couldn't get any worse than 2020. So I think we were looking ahead and saying we're probably going to have Raffy locked up, Xander locked up, Casas was on the horizon, Chris Sale was coming back. So I think we were expecting it was going to be the shell of what was 2018 with some younger stars.
Yeah, and you had the
we got the younger stars, but we did not get the shell.
Not yet. It's coming. I think a more proper name would have been 2025 is our year. I think next year, 2025 and 2026, we're going to see, it's going to be like a big explosion. It's going to be huge.
I think it's going to be like 26.
I think that's probably more of a fair timeline. Like, you remember a couple years ago when the Blue Jays were like, you just saw the preview. Now get ready for the full movie. Except they haven't done anything since then. But
they've made some moves. They're just,
They just
haven't made it nearly as far as they should have.
Nope, they sure haven't. But anyways, Thursday, 10 o'clock, Brian Bello, Luis Castillo in Seattle. This is the second time in 5 years, six seasons that the Red Sox have started on a long road trip out west to start the season. And I think you, in my opinion, you can look at it either two ways. It's like you're getting the big out west road trip out of the way. They do have to go, I believe, in July out to Colorado and to play the Dodgers, but you're getting it out of the way. However, opening day at Fenway not being until April 8th is just egregious. I don't think a team should start on the road for more than two series before their home opener. I mean, we're 2 weeks into the season at that point.
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks into the season is quite a long time. I'll give the schedule makers the benefit of the doubt and say that March 28th, for the most part, usually is not a very warm day in Boston, Massachusetts. Usually that's a day you want to be inside, maybe watching the Bruins or the Celtics. April 9th, that could be a day you could sit outside for 2.5 hours.
I just blew my mic out. Could be a little bit better. Thursday, in terms of weather for Boston, they're calling for rain all day. So we most certainly would have had a rain out if they were playing at home. I remember going to the opener last year, and me and Steve went to the home opener 2 years ago. That one was cold, but the one last year was freezing. It was like 36 degrees. I remember sitting up top, I had my like winter jacket on. That game, Corey Kluber was giving up moon balls. I was like, oh, we're off to such a hot start this year. But yeah, I mean, hopefully in 2 weeks we can get a little bit warmer weather. But yeah, they're starting off in Seattle, same way they did in 2019. And I believe on that road trip, what did they go, like 3-7 in 2019?
Not good.
It was bad. It was really bad. That kind of set them off on the wrong foot. But you've got the chance here. Seattle's a good team, but you've got the A's and the Angels in the series following to get off to a really hot start this year. And then you're coming home. You have some good teams. You've got Baltimore, and then you got the Angels again. You're getting the Angels out of the way early this year. But interesting schedule makeup.
They have a really friendly month of April.
They do. They do. I know.
Oakland, LA, Baltimore is going to be tough. You get LA again. Cleveland, which can go both ways. Pittsburgh, Cleveland once again. And then you get down to Chicago, and then you're at the end of the month. You can win that Pittsburgh series, that Oakland series, no doubt. At least one of the Angels series.
You got to stack some wins early.
I think they got a chance.
I mean, I'm just looking ahead here, and towards the end of the year, you're going to have some gauntlets. Like the whole month of August, August 9th through the 29th, you got Houston, Texas, Baltimore, Houston, Arizona, Toronto.
Not good.
Gauntlet.
Not good.
And then you got, so, you know, it will turn back. It will turn back. But early on, you got to stack the wins. We're going to do a little roster preview, or kind of roster projection here coming up first. And then we've got some other exciting segments coming up in the show. We've got one of my favorite segments every year. We've got the over-under categories voted on by the listeners on our Instagram stories. We're going to give our Red Sox awards for this year and our MLB awards, division winners, our pick for the Red Sox hype song, the World Series. We've got hot takes. We've got tons of good content coming into this episode. So in terms of the opening day roster, we'll go position by position, but is there anything surprising to you? I think we've kind of got the group locked up who we're expecting. Is there anyone kind of surprising to you that's going to be on this roster?
No, I think barring those injuries, at least out of the fielding roster, that's kind of what you expect opening day. Those guys to fill in for, you know, Grissom, who's hurt. But I think once him and Refsnyder return, this is kind of the roster that we expected, right? The infield, I think, is the strongest group, without a doubt. The outfield, I think, could be a boom or bust. It's a young outfield. It's an athletic outfield.
I think the outfield is, I think it's the most fun part of this team.
No doubt.
I honestly think the lineup, and I've said this through the course of the winter, I like this lineup a lot. Is it the most talented group that we've had since 2018, since they won the World Series? No. But I do it as if feel that it's a more permanent group than the teams that we've had the last 2 years. I mean, most of these guys are players that you're going to build around. You're going to see for the next 4 to 5 years, if not longer, on the team. And I'm kind of excited that, again, even if this is not the Red Sox best year, and we'll get to our predictions in a little bit on what we truly think the season outlook is, I at least think that this is a seed in the ground for guys you can follow. And I mean, last year was not great, but it was also hard to really follow that team. And I mean, some of the key contributors, Adam Duvall, Justin Turner, I mean, Verdugo had a pretty solid first half of the year, but you know, the first two guys I mentioned only there for a year, Verdugo was gone. So you've at least got, you know, you've got an infield that's pretty solidified, and you've got Meyer coming up. I think the catching situation is certainly the weakest of the hitters, but you know, you've got top prospects and Teal and Hickey coming up soon. And then, you know, the outfield is a good dynamic young group. So again, I'm at least excited to see some of these guys hopefully build, hopefully start to grow. And like, I remember in 2015, kind of started to see that core of, like, you know, more 2014, 2015 of like Mookie, Bradley, Benny. You had Vasquez, you already had Bogarts, you know, Devers was still like 2 years away, but I'm not comparing the two because that was an incredibly talented group, but you're starting to see the flashes of a similar upbringing here coming into the season.
Yeah. And I don't think it's unfair to expect that this lineup is going to get really hot all at once. And it's probably going to be one of the more exciting lineups in baseball. When they're on, they're going to be on. They're going to be moving each other around. There's a couple of guys that can hit for power and hit for big power. But I think on the flip side of that, you're going to have equal stretches where they're just ice cold. Young guys going through slumps. There's a lot of sophomores that you could expect may have a slump going through. Casas, you could see it. Duran, I mean, he's not really a sophomore anymore. But, you know, those two guys, Yoshida, kind of up for, you know, we'll see how he goes. End of the year wasn't great. Rafaela, Valdez, Wong, like those guys could get cold, but
they're young.
I think that's just, huh?
They're all young, which is I'm excited about.
Right. And I think that's the, you know, that's going to be exciting to watch over the whole year. The scope, when you look back, you're going to say, man, remember when Sedan Rafaela just went on the tear for 14 games and hit 350 with six bombs. And you're going to be like, yeah, that was sweet. And then
sweet.
The week after, he hit 150 and had eight strikeouts.
I'm super excited. Is it bad to say that I'm excited for this team?
No.
I mean,
they're going to be fun. At some point, they're going to be fun.
I mean, again, this is nothing that I haven't said all winter. Is the pitching rough in spots? Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
But I truly think this lineup, I mean, you're also missing Vaughn Grissom on opening day. But I truly think this lineup is the best. I believe it's the best they've had in three seasons. You know,
better
maybe
than last year.
Better than last year. I think on paper, the 2022 lineup was a little bit better. But, you know, you had a down year from JD and, you know, whatever the hell happened to Trevor Story. But I'm excited. So we'll run through the lineup, kind of our projection for the opening day lineup. And we'll you know, kind of touch on each guy quickly. So, Clausen, you made this lineup for what to expect on opening day. Here's my question to you.
Yeah.
Out of the leadoff spot, do they go Jaren Duran or do they go Sedan?
You have to do Duran. He's been there before. You're going to put Sedan, who's been there for a handful of games at the leadoff spot. I think you got to go with what works. You got to put the fastest guy on base too.
I agree. I think Sedan. I've got a lukewarm medium take. I think Sedan, by the mid part towards the end of the year, you could see him kind of penciled in as the number two hitter in this lineup pretty pretty consistently.
Either the two, or he could run as kind of that. You could put him at, you know, eight or nine, and he eight, can nine. Be that backwards yeah. leadoff spot.
Yeah, that, I mean, it's just kind of the versatility of this team. So you got Jaren Duran in the leadoff spot, and it's going to be interesting. It sounds like Duran maybe playing right field this year.
I'm fine with that. Sidon's quick. He's a great athlete. He's great in the field. So I think putting him in center, and I mean, you basically need two center fielders at Fenway. That right mm-hmm. field is massive. Yeah. I don't think it's fair to put the two youngest guys in your outfield in at left. I think that's kind of where O'Neill and Ref Snyder slide in, to be fair, because they've been there. They've played more major league defense.
Yeah, I mean, you've also got, obviously, Yoshida, who got some reps out there last year. But
yeah,
I think Duran, well, they said early on in the spring that if Sidon made the opening day roster, he would be the full-time center fielder, which we're going to see. So you got Duran and Wright leading off. Then you got Devers. Again, this is all, you know, possibility of a opening day lineup, but these are going to be your starters for, I think you can at least bank on this. You got Rafael Devers at third base. You know, he's the cornerstone of this lineup. Trevor Story hitting third, playing shortstop. I'm curious, what are your expectations for Story in year three of the contract?
I don't have expectation. My gut tells me that he's going to get hurt. Because, look, we've been at this for 2 years. And we've been saying that this is going to be the year he's healthy. And then last year was a total wash. And the year before, he was hurt. And he come back and he had that 7-game stretch where he was Jesus Christ with a baseball bat in his hand. And then got hurt again. So I don't think it's fair to get your hopes up at this point. I just don't think it's realistic to get your hopes up at this point. But
I completely agree. I've got no expectations like for what to expect with Trevor Story. I do at least know that this is going to be like the boom or bust year, kind of where I could see, I don't really know who would want him, but I could see after this year, you know, I think there are a number of possibilities where Trevor Story can go. I don't want to speculate on that now, but that's kind of how I'll leave it at that. I think this is a pivotal year for Story. Obviously, you've got top prospects coming up in the middle of the infield, but I think off the field, you know, he led that defense camp, the Story camp over the winter, and you know he's got some good experience. He's really the veteran in this lineup along with Devers. So he's a good clubhouse guy. You need some of those.
Yeah, look, I mean, if the floor for this guy, if he plays 120 games and plays good defense, it's fine. He should hit for 20-something home runs and have a decent average, but if he can't hit for his life and all he does is go out and play good defense and doesn't cause them to lose runs, then fine.
Hitting
it's
cleanup.
A contract. It's a wash contract.
Yeah, well, three more years on it. We'll see how this year goes, but Belly's got... I'm just excited that he'll at least be back full time. Hitting cleanup, you've got Tristan Casas. I think in terms of expectations, Casas is the guy who I'm expecting to just have a monstrous season. I mean, he had an outstanding second half of last year. He came in third in rookie of the year voting. I feel like he's really growing into kind of like the number two star on this team behind Rafael Devers. And His first full season overall, I mean, I think it went better, not better, but I think what most people were expecting. Obviously got off to a slow start, but I think, you know, in between Story and O'Neill in the lineup, if that's where they've got him, I think he's going to do some damage. I'm really excited to see what Casas is going to do this year.
I've got high hopes for him. I'm hoping he goes out and hits 30 bombs and plays decent defense and puts the bat on the ball and drives guys in, but I could see a reality where he starts slow. He hasn't had a great spring training. And if he starts slow and people are going to have huge expectations for him, they're going to be calling to say, you know, is this guy a bust? Is he sophomore slumping?
No, and no, no.
Absolutely.
A bust? You're crazy.
I don't know, man.
Spring training numbers do not count.
But for not a guy sure. that young, you would hope that it's not an indication of how it's going to continue. You know those two guys on 98.5.
Yep. I'm aware of them.
They'll be calling for his head.
I mean, they say the Patriots could go 16-0 and they'd be like, I don't know, it might be time to fire Belichick.
But those guys are Boston media.
Not exactly good, but
people like us aren't gonna come for his head. But if he starts slow, it's gonna be a hole to climb out of.
Yeah, I call it as I see it. I'm an optimist, but I'm not gonna say stuff just to get views or listens. Like
I'm just saying, the casual fan might turn away from him.
I think that's a horrible take. But next up, you got Tyler O'Neill in left field, new addition to the roster this year. O'Neill's another guy. Again, I think across the board, just a lot of guys with potential. He was top 10 in MVP voting in what, 2021? I mean, this is his final year on his contract. He's just he mashes the ball when he's healthy, and I think with the monster in left, he's going to benefit from that righty bat. Like I'm pumped to see what Tyler O'Neill is going to do this year.
Yeah, I mean, if he's healthy, he's going to be a great addition to this team. He's in a contract year, so you'd kind of expect him to play his balls off. And seems so far like people like him. I don't know if you've been listening to the mic'd up in spring training. I like him
a little bit. Yeah,
I like
yeah.
him. Yeah. I like him.
I think he's going to be another good culture guy. Like, you know, hopefully with a change of scenery, comes in, mashes, good, you know, middle of the lineup guy. Next, your DH, Masataka.
Last thing on O'Neill. People are overlooking. If you have an O'Neill, Duran, Yoshida outfield, that's like putting three Hulk Hogans out there. Got to be the three biggest. Got to be the most jacked outfield in baseball.
I mean, yeah, you got the Macho Man to start off, and then Duran and O'Neill are just shredded.
24-inch biceps.
Is that?
I don't know. That's just like the Hulk Hogan Python.
Sounds about right.
That's what they say, man. Split squats and bicep curls helps you hit jacks.
We've been saying that for years. I mean, I feel like every pitcher we've had on the show, they're like split squats for hitting and pitching. Might just be the best exercise, all things considered.
It seems like that's what Tyler O'Neill's been doing, just split squatting and straight bar curling.
Hell yeah. Love it. Pump the iron. I want to see the Red Sox break out maybe some sleeveless jerseys this year, like the Reds a couple years ago.
I don't think that they would ever do that, but that would be sweet.
This would be, I mean,
Raffy in a.
I unfortunately think they'd go.
That would be hilarious.
I think they'd go 162. No, I hate to say it, but
Casas would definitely do something silly.
They all would. I mean,
he's got the crop top and the no sleeves.
Yeah.
He's got the stirrup socks.
I'm all for it. I'm all for it. Next in the lineup, we got Masataka Yoshida hitting sixth, the DH. I feel like he's been overlooked this whole offseason. I think he's another guy. You just kind of maybe he'll be forgotten about a little bit. And again, his first season, I think a little bit under the production value that you would have wanted for him on that deal. But again, I'm confident a little bit of a deeper lineup. You know, have him towards the top. I think he could have another solid year.
Yeah, I think he fits really well at that six hole behind O'Neill and Casas to kind of give that back end of the lineup another jolt, get a guy on base, and then kind of let some speed behind him. I got good hopes for Yoshida.
Yeah, no,
he
and
played
I'm
well for a stretch, and you know it's a long season. It's his first year coming over. I think he's a professional baseball player. He's going to adjust well.
Yep.
He's going to hit well. He'll play the field when you need him to. I think he's a good DH for this team.
100%. I'm curious with Yoshida how he adapts to. I mean, it sounds like he's going to be the everyday DH. How he adapts to that. Then again, we got Sedan. We already talked about him. Manuel Valdez. Not much to say about him. I think he's a good bench middle infielder. You know, good up the middle type player. He's going to be filling in for Vaughn Grissom opening day. I don't really have too many notes on Emmanuel Valdez. I think he's a solid bench piece.
Couldn't put it any better myself.
There you go. Next, rounding out the lineup, you got the catchers. Connor Wong took the majority of the reps last year. I think he can expect the same thing this year. His hitting was, I think, better than most expected. And again, as I mentioned earlier, between Wong and Maguire, I think that is not, I think, I truly believe that that is the weakest part of the entire lineup. And you've got help on the way with some top prospects coming up soon. I don't think the world is too long on this team for Reese Maguire. I think, you know, maybe you could see a guy like Nathan Hickey get called up before the end of this year. Gunnar Jalub too, I would like to point out. But overall, it's fine. I mean, they exist. They're fine. I like Connor Wong.
Yeah, I thought Wong really stepped in well, kind of as the full-time catcher last year. I could see him as a three WAR player this season.
Mm.
He was just under 2.5 last year.
I don't hate that take.
No, he's 28, so he's realistically in the prime of his career. If he's playing every day and he's in a good spot in the lineup, and I think that he could have a better season than people are expecting. He's kind of my unsung hero of this roster.
I don't hate that take at all. Then we mentioned Reese Maguire. Your other three bench players, it's looking like for opening day, will be Wilyer Abreu in the outfield, who he was up a little bit towards the end of the season last year. Again, another young talent. He came over in that Christian Vasquez trade. Again, I like to see him get some reps. And then your other two guys, Pablo Reyes, who played in a whole bunch of games last year and you know, kind of stepped up when needed. And the last guy, who I think we're going to be seeing a fair bit of, at least in the early stages of the season. I don't want to say this is his last chance. I don't want to say it's his last chance, but like, got a few injuries. He's got a roster spot, might get some at bats. I think we're not, I think it's basically all but certain that Bobby D, the man, is going to be on this opening day roster.
Look, guys, we know the formula. Leave Bob alone and Bob will cook.
Does Bobby Dalbec? Oh, didn't he just get engaged?
Did he?
I'm pretty sure he just got engaged.
I was leaving him alone.
True, but like,
I think he did.
I'm pretty sure he did.
The women of Boston are just crying their eyes out over that.
What happened? Didn't Andrew Benintendi get engaged? And then, yeah, oh, that was a big deal. We got a bomb. We got a bomb. Breaking news. Jordan Montgomery has signed with the team.
Is this true?
It is true. Jordan Montgomery. What? You want to take a guess before you see?
I'm going to guess the Twins.
It's not the Red Sox. I hate to say it. Jordan Montgomery is headed to the defending National League champion, the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Oh. What a boner killer that is.
Well, there you go.
If you guys didn't know, I really am not a Diamondbacks fan.
I like the Diamondbacks. I'm not going to point out who else is in.
Eduardo Rodriguez. Surely those two. Surely Montgomery, if he starts listening to E-Rod, he'll have a down season.
Man, what a bummer. I knew the Red Sox weren't going to get him.
What's the contract?
Still nothing yet. Passan tweeted it out 4 minutes ago at 8:45.
I was going to say, it hasn't even hit the internet yet.
Barely on the waves. But that is a... Oh, here we go. 25-year deal for 1 year. The player option for the second year. Yeah, no wonder the Red Sox weren't going to pony up that kind of money.
Wait, say that? Say it again?
$25 million this season includes a vesting player option for a second year.
So he basically signed Blake Snell's contract.
Yes.
So many people are going to start firing Scott Boras.
I don't think he's a Boras guy.
He is a Boras guy.
He is? Montgomery?
They were all Boras guys.
Hmm.
The three of them. And well, so what? Bellinger, Snell, Montgomery, Chapman. And yeah, Chapman. All were Boras guys. And they all got paid way less than they were asking.
Yeah, not a great look. I don't think any of them, actually, I know that none of them got six-figure contracts.
No.
Or, sorry, I'm thinking in normal person salary. None of them got eight-figure salaries.
Yeah. None of them got six-figure salaries.
No one got $100K.
Not even 99.
I think I saw the major league minimum this year is like 700K or something.
What's like the NBA minimum is like 6 million or something ridiculous.
I don't think it's that much, but
no, it's like 2.5.
It's like once you're in the league for like 2 years, you get paid. If you're a role 1. Player, 1. They just throw like $30 million a year at you. All right. Well, that about does it for free agency. We know where all the big pieces are gone. JD Martinez the other day signed with the Mets too on a 1 year deal. I like that.
Yeah, he said once that he's addicted to making the playoffs, and everyone on Twitter is saying that he must be allergic.
Yeah, they were like, good for him going to rehab.
Yeah, that's what it was, going to rehab.
Yeah, I love seeing like these preseason like quotes and stuff, and people are like, oh, this is gonna hit hard in July, like just gonna backfire.
Oh yeah,
but
Alex Cora had a good one the other day.
He did. What was the exact quote?
If they give trophies for vibes, we're up there.
I love how he didn't even say like we're at the top. He's like we're close to the top. We're up there. We're on there. I mean, that's great. I feel like that's classic. Like, I don't know how the team's gonna do, but we get along well.
That's like what you tell the parents when you're in like third grade baseball. It's like, you know, we're not very good, but I'll tell you what, we're having a lot of fun.
Kids are having fun. It's all that matters.
Kids are having fun.
Improve it. Yeah, I think that's how it might be this year. The kids on the team are gonna be having fun. Hopefully, improving. Who do you think brings the most vibes on this team?
Casas.
I like that take.
I mean,
is this team
he's a
boring?
Wild card.
Are they boring? Like personality wise?
Not as boring as they were really boring last year.
Last year was bad.
21 was like verging on really boring. If they weren't
21? 21 was a great team.
All right, no, I take it back. Sorry. 20 was just
20 was
everything
awful.
In 2020 sucked.
Yeah.
Last year they were just boring as could be. 22 is what I was thinking of. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
22 was bad.
22 was bad. It was like everyone knew Xander was leaving. JD was having a down year.
Kike was just like, meh.
Yeah.
Wow. He went from like everyone's favorite Red Sox to just being like, eh.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. Well, that actually segues us perfectly into the starting rotation, which we already knew what it was going to be. Brian Bello, Nick Pivetta, Cutter Crawford, Garrett Whitlock, and Tanner Houck, essentially the exact same five that they rolled out for the majority of last year, will be returning. You know, this rotation would have been awesome with like any left-handed pitcher.
Like Jordan Montgomery,
even Blake Snell.
Do they have a single? Houck is a lefty.
No, he's not.
All right. No, he's not. You're right.
Jolie Rodriguez is, I believe, the only lefty on the entire pitching staff. Because I believe Greg Weiser is he's a righty as well.
Yep, Cutter's a righty. Yeah, they're just going to let up. I mean, they go to Yankee Stadium.
First of all, yeah,
Juan Soto is going to have a field day with everyone except for Brian Bello.
Yeah, I think Juan Soto is going to have a good year, but that is besides the point. Yeah.
With all those righties.
I want to know how Jolie Rodriguez slipped in here as the lone lefty on this roster. I mean, we really couldn't do any better than that.
He shouldn't be on the roster.
I'm pretty sure he's on a minor league deal.
He should be on a minor league deal. He should be in the minor leagues.
Yeah. Well, the Red Sox today sent down Brennan Bernardino, who will not be on the opening day roster. The other day, they also signed Chase Anderson, who the last, let's see here, the last five, or excuse me, four seasons has had a 6.19 ERA in 52 games with a whip at nearly 1.5 and 160 strikeouts and 192 innings. So
is he a righty or a lefty?
He's a righty. Just, well, you know, it totally fits the bill.
That's just a head scratcher if I've ever seen one.
Totally. I think that this bullpen, I've said this so damn much. I really don't think this bullpen would have been that bad. I think it actually would have been pretty good had you gone out and you signed, well, they had Giolito, which would have pushed one of these guys back there. Had you signed two starters and you moved Halkin Whitlock back into the pen, and you have a healthy Chris Murphy as well, who is unfortunately going to be out for the year. He's going to be your lefty. And then you also have Bernardino up there. I think that bullpen would be pretty solid, I think, in the upper half of all of major leagues. But unfortunately, we're rolling out now Whitlock and Hauk, who have shown that they're
not starters.
And Pivetta, Nick Pivetta as well. I mean, you've essentially only got, like, I'm pretty confident in Cutter Crawford, and we'll get to our Red Sox pitching award picks in a little bit here. But, I mean, it's just, like, frustrating. You trade Chris Sale, who is a lefty. I don't want to talk. The pitching is just so frustrating to me. Because, again, you really see something built here pretty well with the lineup. But, I mean, it's just head-scratching in terms of the pitchers.
I mean, you have like a top seven bullpen if you push Pivetta, Whitlock, and Hauk back, right?
100. I mean, if your bullpen, and like, let's just say you have a healthy Chris Murphy, healthy Liam Hendricks. If you have Kenley Jansen, Chris Martin, Josh Winkowski, Liam Hendricks, Isaiah Campbell, Nick Pivetta, Brennan Bernardino, and then, you know, Hauk and Whitlock would be nine guys. But I mean, even then, that is, I mean, there's not one guy trotting out there who I would not feel comfortable pitching an inning.
No, exactly. And I will die on the hill that Garrett Whitlock is a seventh inning setup guy.
I think you'd have lots of people joining you.
I think that is exactly where he fits. That's where he had the most success before. He's not a long-term reliever. He's not a starter. You put him out for an inning, he throws gas and he throws nasty pitches. He can do it for five outs.
Yeah.
And he can't do it. He's not supposed to be able to do it for longer than that.
I think even in that like longer relief role where if, you know, the pen's tired, you stretch him out a little bit. And Hauk's numbers, I mean, last year he didn't pitch out of the pen once. He had an ERA over five. And I mean, the splits between, you remember first, second, and third time through the lineup? I mean, it was like stupid. It was like he could only face 18 guys.
It's like batting practice.
Yeah, the third time through. I mean, so again, the bullpen is I think the starters could be okay, but I mean, far and away, again, the other thing too, you look at the prospect pool, not really anybody. I mean, you got Dickie Fitz, who you know, maybe could make a little bit of noise this year. But
to be fair, I guess the Sox have never been known for developing pitching.
No, I fully understand that. Yeah.
Other than John Lester, it's just throw money at pitchers and let, you know, grow the offense from the farm.
When was the last time? Here's a good trivia question for everyone listening. I'm going to look this up real quick. When was the last time the Red Sox had an opening day starter who was homegrown?
Probably Clay Buchholz.
Ding, ding, ding. Clay Buchholz in 2015.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds right.
Yeah. They had a run there, 11-15, Lester and Buchholz. But I mean, even before that, you got to go back to, I mean, I don't even know here. Pedro wasn't drafted by the Red Sox. I don't know. Very, very few. Very, very few.
It's not what they do.
No, it's not. And I mean, looking at the, you know, the prospects list, it's basically Fitz. And then, you know, you'd hope for Mata, certainly not recently, but you'd hope for Mata, and he's unfortunately going to be injured coming into this 2024 season. And, you know, he's, I believe, out of minor league options. So they've got to make a decision on, you know, whether they want to call him up or not. But yeah, I mean, not really any pitching prospects on the horizon. I mean, just call CT up. I mean, I'm not even joking when I say this, that I truly think there's a chance we could see him on the team this year.
Hey, he got Ronald Acuna out.
He did. He did. And his spring training debut the other day, he's clocking in at number 34 on the Sox prospect list.
That should be way higher.
I agree.
That's either the 33 greatest prospects in baseball history or CT is underrated.
Yeah, I mean, the Red Sox farm system is stacked, but I think that he could be a guy you maybe see this year.
He dominates in Portland for a couple months. You could see him in Worcester.
You never know.
Kendall gets traded. Hendricks gets put back.
Yeah.
Maybe we see a CT. I think the stars could align.
Maybe CT to Nathan Hickey. I mean,
he's Rule 5 eligible after this year, I think.
He is. Everybody from that draft class is. So we will see how that pans out. But yeah, the official lineup for the bullpen race right now, you got Chase Anderson, Justin Slayton, Greg Weiser, Jolie Rodriguez, Isaiah Campbell, Josh Winkowski, Chris Martin, and Kenley Jansen. And if you don't know who some of those names are, I don't blame you.
Look, I got some. When I was writing these guys down, I was like, man, this sucks. But then I was kind of looking through it, and I'm like, you know what? Justin Slayton, he's going to be my surprise player, not to spoil my predictions for later, but I think he has a good year.
You know what's crazy is my surprise player comes out of the bullpen as well. So Isaiah Campbell, not to get ahead of things, but
I think this bullpen could surprise. I just think it's going to be tough if when the starters don't go 5 innings, and then you got to rely on these guys every day, and you get to July, and they've been pitching more than half the game every night, and they get worn out. I think there's a chance that these guys are great early on, and they just get worn out.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I feel like in years past too, there have been kind of options of other guys who could come up soon, like kind of, you know, fringe guys. But I mean, I guess there's not a ton. So the pitching is going to be the wild card this year. That's how it's been the last couple of years. But overall, what are you giving this the roster a letter grade headed into this year?
C+.
You read my mind.
It's not a B-. It's like a 78 out of 100.
Here's the thing. It's not bad. The team is not bad. I mean, Boston fans are spoiled. Yeah, 100%. That's how we should be. I mean, we're a big market team. But could definitely be better.
I think fatigue's going to be an issue.
I think that's
I called it last year. Defense was going to be the big issue. This year is going to be fatigue. If they're in any sort of wild card race going into July, I think it's going to take a downturn. I think August is going to be tough again.
I think that's a very real possibility. As you know, even in 2021, we saw when August rolled around, there was quite the collapse there towards the end of the year. However, that about does it for like our preseason kind of preview of the players on the field. We've got some fun segments now to talk about, bring up the mood a little bit. Don't need to talk about the bullpen anymore for right now. We're going to talk about our over-unders. Clausen, you actually, these lines were not made by me this year. You pulled these this year from our old friends at Fangraphs.
Yeah, you were putting in way too much work trying to think of these lines. I just went straight to the source.
Yeah, I had no idea this even existed. But I made graphics, threw all of these up on our Instagram story last night, and the listeners voted on if they think they're going to go over under. Klaus and I have our picks. We'll tell you the percentage of the listeners as well. And then we usually do a mid-season update during like our mid-season recap episode. And then we tell you how things fare out at the end and who had the most correct picks, hopefully in November, but we'll see. So the first category is Tristan Casas over under on home runs. The line is set at 28.5. The listeners took the over. 77% of them took the over. I've got the over. Clausen?
I've got the under. I have him right at 28. 30 home runs is a lot.
How many did you have last year? Like 22?
He had
oh wait,
24.
24 last year.
But
I
he
think
was like the hottest hitter in baseball for a month.
I was gonna say, I think that's a jump he can make, but I think all these lines are good. That's why they're the ones who project these things, not us.
I
But
think it's certainly an attainable line. If
I
he has a
think
great year, if he stays on pace, I could see him hitting 30, no problem.
I think he's gonna, like, if he does eclipse that, which is my bet, I think he's just gonna go over, but I think Casas is in for a really good year. Next one that we've got, Brian Bayo, the ace of the staff this year, over under 154 strikeouts. 68% of listeners took the over. He had 132 last year, and I gotta say, I'm taking the over.
Yeah, I mean, 28 starts last year. I think that's pretty on par for what we could see. I think he could probably get over 30 if he stays healthy. And yeah, he's a strikeout guy. He's got nasty stuff. I think he's going to have a lot of swing and miss. And I don't think 154 is out of reach at all.
No, not at all. I think Bayo's going to have another jump this year. We're going to see him really develop. I mean, they've given him the keys to be the top dog in the rotation. Got rid of Chris Sale, giving him the start on opening day. There's really, I think Cutter Crawford's kind of the number two guy behind him, crazy enough. But that's kind of where we're at right now. The next category, we got Rafael Devers, over under 34.5 home runs. 62% of listeners took the over. I actually got the under on this one. Klaassen took the over.
I'm hammering the over because last year was considered a down year, and I originally took the under on homers and RBIs for him, and then I went back and looked at the numbers. If 2023 is a down year and he hit 33 homers and 100 RBIs, I don't see why he doesn't go for 35 plus on a bounce back season.
I don't, yeah. I mean, again, I think all these lines are good. I think Devers is going to be right around there.
Yeah.
I just,
A competitive line.
I think he just misses it. Like 35 home runs is a lot of home runs. I could see him hitting like 31, 32. I think he's going to be just under there. I think Rafi's going to have another phenomenal season, which kind of leads into our next category, over under 99.5 home runs, or excuse me, that'd be a lot. That'd be a lot.
That would be a
RBI
lot.
for Devers. I think he, again, I think he's just gonna miss this one. I've got the under.
I don't know. Again, I mean, in his full seasons, what, 21, he had 113. 2019, he had 115. Last year, he had 100. He was under 88 in 2022. But I think he's really, if he's batting in that, if he's in a spot where he can drive guys in, he's going to drive him in. And the guy's going to be a double machine. You have a lot of speed on the bases.
Yeah, I was
I
going to
think
say.
100. I think 100 is definitely doable for Rafi.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we've seen him do it three times before, twice before.
Three times, yeah.
I think if he's in that two hole, maybe it's a little bit harder to get to, but I think he's going to be right around there as well. And excuse me, 85% of listeners took the over on that
I thought
one.
this was a kind of a weak line.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's going to be just under, but obviously I think I hope he's over. I hope he's over. Next one we got is Tyler O'Neill, over under 23.5 home runs. 71% of listeners took the under on this one. Klaassen and I both have the under. Real quick, I think O'Neill's gonna have he's gonna have a very solid year. I think for me, is he gonna get the at bats to hit 23.5 home runs? I mean, I think as of right now, you can pencil him in as an everyday player, but I could foresee him going through some stints where, you've got Ref Snyder coming back, you've got Abreu, how do they mix in Yoshida in the outfield with Dahlbeck and this and that? I don't think you're gonna. I could see O'Neill playing like six out of every 10 games.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I kind of see him as a, if you take what Adam Duvall did last year and kind of translate it over, that like 250 average, 21 homers, like 60 RBI. I don't think that that's a terrible prediction for Tyler O'Neill.
I just, yeah, I mean, again, I think this is the supporting cast on the bench this year. I didn't mention this earlier, but I've said it through the offseason that I think it's again, one of the stronger casts that they've had coming off the bench in a while. So I think it just, you know, again, competition is good. Gives these guys a little bit of pressure. Next category, over under for Jaren Duran steals. Line is at 23.5. 79% of listeners took the over. We both took the over. I mean, if Jaren's healthy, he's a speed demon. Top of the lineup, you know, most likely going to be the leadoff hitter. I don't see why he doesn't do this.
Yeah, I mean, I really hope that Cora gets aggressive on the bases. I think that's going to be the way that they steal some games, is if they let Duran run and they let Rafaela run. That's going to be the way that they steal. That's going to be the way that they gain bases and win games in the end. There's going to be a lot of one-run games that I think you can win if you steal 2-3 bags mm-hmm. in that one. And yeah. then let, you know, Devers behind him, Story, Casas, O'Neill, drive him around.
Yeah, love to see them be a little bit more aggressive on the base pass. I think it's very manageable for Duran to hit that total. How many? Hold on, do we have a number here? How many he had last year? It was like around there, I believe. He had 24 last year and only 102 games. So
he's got crushed this one.
I think this one's
should go over 35. Cover.
I hope he's over 30. I don't think the Red Sox have had a guy steal 30 since Mookie in either 2018 or 2019. I believe he did that.
The MLB is kind of begging these guys to steal bases now.
Yeah, bigger bags, got the pitch clock. I mean, I think this one's a slam dunk. I mean, next one.
Who led the league last year? It was like a shit ton. 73 yeah. out of Acuna?
Yeah. Well, yeah, hit a 40-70 season. I mean, nuts. This next category, I believe, is quite the opposite of a slam dunk. Trevor Story over under games played. The line is at 146. Clausen and I both have the unders. The listeners seem to agree. 75% of them took the under. Listen, I think if Trevor Story stays healthy the whole year, I still don't foresee him playing 146 games.
I couldn't actually believe that. I'm going to look at it now to make sure that I'm like not seeing stuff. Yeah. I had to double check before, and I'm going to triple check again because I couldn't believe that anyone was projecting Trevor Story to play 146 games. That's outrageous.
Obviously,
I'm not sure he's actually ever done that.
I'm honestly not sure. I mean, here's the thing. Even if he's healthy the whole year, I feel like, you know, again, I just think there's something that's going to come up. Obviously, I hope I'm wrong, but that is a lot. I mean, that's only 2.5 off days a month. Like, I don't see it.
Not happening. When was the last time you played that many games?
Never.
2019. He was at 142 in 2021.
Ooh, close. How many games has he played in his Red Sox career? Has he played 146?
He has played 137.
There you go. I don't think so.
No, not happening.
This next
plays
one.
Plays 120. I'm happy with that.
I agree. I think if you could get 120 to 130, I think that's pretty predictable. Next up, the Red Sox pitching staff over under on their the team ERA this year at 4.52. This one was very split. I've got the under. Clausen, you've got the over, and 52% of listeners took the over.
Yeah, I'm going to hammer the over. I think you could make a case that no one on the entire pitching staff, except for like Kenley or maybe Chris Martin, none of the starters, I don't think, will have an ERA under 3. And I don't think that that's crazy to say.
That is 3 is like elite.
3.5. Maybe Bayo.
I think Bayo. I think maybe Cutter. I think Pivetta will be around low 4s. Listen, I think this one's going to be very close. I could see it going either way. I think it's dependent on the bullpen, this is one of my optimist takes.
I guess I'm looking at last year and I'm saying that, I don't know. I think none of the starters are going to have one. Maybe one starter has one under 3.5. And then everyone else is going to be low 4s. There's got to be one mid-high 4s in there somewhere. And then bullpen just kind of depends how bad Jolie Rodriguez is. He could have he could have an 8 ERA.
He could be bad. He could be in the running for the Santa Claus Award.
I think he won it last year. I think he did. Probably could run away with it this year.
Yeah, he definitely could.
We've never had a back-to-back winner.
We never have. We never have. 4 years. Have we done this four times? We've done that four times. Jeez.
If he wins it three in a row, do we get his jersey?
I think you have to. If he wins it again this year, I'll buy a Jolie Rodriguez jersey.
You gonna get a Fanatics one?
Nah, getting the cheapest Chinese knockoff I can find.
You're gonna send that poor order, and they're gonna be like, "Who the hell is Jolie Rodriguez?"
They probably won't even have his number on file.
Oh, I'm sorry, you gotta like create a jersey to get a Jolie Rodriguez.
Yeah, I think you do. I think he's number 57.
You think you can even get a Jolie Rodriguez jersey?
I think you can. I think you could get one for anyone on the active roster. I feel like before the days of like online ordering, it'd be hard to find some of these guys' jerseys. And you'd go to a game and you'd see some really obscure ones and you'd be like, where the hell did that guy get that jersey from?
No way. MLBShop.com.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
$134.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
Well, it's almost gone.
What? They make five of them?
It seems like they're sold out.
I'm just going to guess they made none of them.
Unbelievable.
That can't.
That's kind of, last purchased more than a day ago.
I think Jolie bought all of them for his family. I want to know which one of you crazies bought a Jolie Rodriguez real jersey.
If I see a Jolie Rodriguez jersey in Fenway this year, I'm taking a picture with the guy.
All right. That is a deal. That is a deal. Whoever I like that.
All right. We should make a
Let's make a bet. Whoever can get a picture with a person wearing a Jolie Rodriguez jersey first. What do we get? Like, got to buy a beer for the other person.
Beer?
Beer for the other person, yeah.
All right. Should we extend the bet and say, strangest Sox jersey you see all year, you got to take a picture with it?
Yeah, I like that.
We'll have Steve vote. We'll have the viewers vote. We'll have
the people vote. I think I'm going to be at, you know, a good number of games this year. I assume you will too.
But I think that that's a good good running bet. Whoever gets a picture with the weirdest jersey,
I like
we
it.
We gotta come up with something. But
okay, I like it. I like it. We'll have the people vote on that at the end of the year.
I'm trying to think of like who the most obscure.
Who would be the craziest jersey? I want to see someone in a Jonathan Van Every jersey.
I don't think if you get a JVE one, I'll automatic win.
Okay, fair. What about a Tony Renda?
If you get a Tony Renda one.
What about what was his name? Jamile Weeks?
You think anyone has a Jamile? Do they even make jerseys for him?
No, not the sideline reporter. They had
Jamile Weeks, Ricky Weeks' brother.
Yeah, Ricky Weeks' brother. Yeah. I don't know. They might have.
I'm hoping for I'd love like a Cespedes or something.
I feel like that's not crazy. There was one person I was just thinking of. Oh, who is what about a Mike Kickham jersey? I feel like
definitely didn't sell those.
Any of the really obscure pitchers from the 2020 season, that's like an auto win as well.
Yeah. Matt Hall is an automatic win.
Automatic win. Grady Sizemore, Scott Podsednik. I mean, we got a lot of good options here.
Lars Anderson.
I'm quite excited for this.
Mark Kotze.
Yeah. Ryan Hannigan.
That would be a good one. Number 10.
Mm.
Does it have to have the name on it?
I think it does.
That could get tricky. Like a five jersey like a Kike jersey.
Like literally anybody. Nomar, Gomes, Zue Lin. I mean, they give that number out like it's candy. Who's got five on the roster right now? Kinsler had it. Who had it at the end of last year?
I don't think anyone had it.
I could have sworn someone had number five. Let's see. Going to my trusty site, Baseball Almanac. Yeah, Kike was the last guy to wear it. You've had Kike, Pilar, Zue Lin, Ian Kinsler, Alan Craig, Johnny Gomes, Nick Punto, Rocco Baldelli, all those guys since Nomar.
Wow. Let's see. Is anyone wearing Daniel Nava's number now?
29.
Dahlbeck?
Yeah, Dahlbeck's 29.
29's got some good ones.
Who else was in there? What about a Pedro Siriaco 23 jersey?
That is a good one.
That would be awesome.
I'm looking at 26 too would be a good one. Holt, Podsednik, Lou Maloney.
Mm.
And then it just falls right off. Boggs.
I like that.
This could be a good one.
This could be a good one. 23 has got a ton. Shaw, Chavis, Swihart, Brandon Snyder, Siriaco, Danny Valencia, Brent Lillibridge, Marlon Byrd, Mike Cameron, Eric Bedard, Julio Lugo, and Adam LaRoche. And Alex Cora.
That's a solid.
Tons. All right. Bring it. I want to see obscure jerseys out at Fenway this year. Next category, Red Sox hitters over under a 258 batting average. I'm taking the over. I think these lines are going to be close. Fangraphs, they know what they're talking about.
I'm taking just the under. I made the pick, so I got to own it.
Yeah, you got to.
I'm not sure that I love that one, but I think it's going to be close.
I don't love either of those. I feel like it's just kind of like you toss it up. It's a big sample size. I'm like, ah. Yeah. Next one. This line is low. Over, but I'm still taking the under. Over under 1.5 All Stars.
Yeah.
Also, on the last category, 78% of listeners took the over.
They took the over on this one?
No. On the hitters.
Oh.
63% took the over on the All Stars.
Interesting.
I got the under.
I'm taking the under. I think it's going to be like just Raffy.
I could see Raffy. I could see Casas. I could maybe see Bayo. I just can't see two guys like I would love to, but having an explosive first half.
I would love it. I just don't think it's going to happen. I got to bring it back one more to the conversation we just had, jersey numbers.
Mm-hmm.
57 might actually be in the running because Ooh. E-Rod wore 57.
He did. That's not obscure, though.
No, but if it's a blank 57.
Oh, true. What about a player who like came up and then immediately changed their number? Like a 64 Pedroia, 40 Benny, 44 Bradley.
It doesn't even show
a 40.
Oh no, it does. My
46
bad.
Ellsbury.
Yeah, it does.
A 60 Daniel Nava. If you've got a number 60 Daniel Nava jersey, he was 66 or 60.
Yeah, 66. I don't know. There's a lot 60. Of it's. If you have a name on there, it's going to be good.
Yeah, 100%. Like a lot of these high number guys, very interested to see. Do you want to talk about this next category? Your calculation behind it.
Total attendance in 2024. I just took the 2023 attendance. So total attendance over the year, 2,672,130. Which rounds out to about 32,990 a game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm picking the under on that. I think people are going to stick to a boycott, and then they're not going to be good. And people are going to stop going.
I think this team gets hot. I think it's going to be a nice summer here in Boston, and I don't think you can keep the people away from Fenway Park. I'm taking the over because I am personally going to help that figure out this year.
So will I. I'll be at Fenway. No doubt. But I think that people will be down on the team. They're not going to want to support John Henry's pockets. I assume ticket prices have gone up.
I just got an email for which I think I find out. Wait, shoot. Was I supposed to find out today? Either today or tomorrow. Hold on. Let me see if I can find this real quick. I got an email from the team, like a ticket deal. Mm-hmm. It was... the Fenway Pass, $98 for all games in April, standing room tickets.
It's a steal. They're just giving them away.
Yeah.
They're selling them at Costco.
Fenway Pass selected registrants notified via email on or about Tuesday, 3/26. I did not get an email today, so it does not look like I was chosen by the Boston Red Sox.
On the bright side, I sent you guys a picture the other week of some of the games in April.
Mm-hmm.
$12 to go to the Orioles game.
Yeah, I was going to say
$9, $19, $25, $22, $35, $10.
I like
seats are going to be they're going to be handing them out on Lansdowne.
I was going to say I like to see that. I'm for sure opening day. I've got to work because it's a day game, but. Game number two on Wednesday. I will be there.
I think I don't know. Maybe I'll make it to that first series. We'll see.
Yeah, against the O's. Next category, final one on the over under. The team wins from DraftKings. The line's at 77.5. I want your pick, and I want your total as well.
Gonna go under at 76.
Wow.
I really think they're gonna skid hard in August. They're just gonna get too tired.
I'm taking the over. I'm going with 85.
85?
Your eyes might as well just have jumped out of your head. I don't
in
think
in what world do they win 85 games?
That is
where
that
do they
is,
win 85 games?
That is a great question. I think that they're going to find a way. I think they're going to find a way, man.
I want to see if I can find this from earlier. Because it was...
I don't think 85 is that crazy for this team.
I think it is.
No.
85? With this?
I don't think so.
This rotation? All right.
I don't think so.
Oh, all right. This is crazy. Baseball Reference says best case scenario for the Red Sox, 89-73. Which I don't know where they get 89 wins from. Worst case, 69-93.
I think they're going to win 108. 108 wins.
109?
100, maybe 109. I got 85 wins on the year. Call me a little crazy, but I'm an optimist. If you've been listening for a while, you know that.
I mean, 77 I think is close. I'm just not willing to give them the over because we all said the over last year and we got burnt.
We're dead.
I'd rather get burnt.
I put a pessimist
than the optimist.
I actually put a bet down last year on Selection Queens and I lost by one game. One game. We've got two this's or that's. Who's going to pitch more innings this year, Nick Pivetta or Brian Bayo?
Got to be Pivetta. He's an inning eater.
I agree. I think Pivetta, too, at some point, maybe gets moved back to the pen, gets a few extra innings out of there. I like Pivetta. This or that, Trevor Story or Tyler O'Neill home runs?
I took O'Neill.
I took Story. I think this one's going to be close. I think they're going to be like high teens to low 20s.
No doubt.
I think it's going to be Story just because he's going to have more at-bats.
I just can't give it to Story. A good rationale. I just can't be optimistic about Trevor Story until he plays more than 45 games.
I think O'Neill's ratio of at-bats per home run will be higher lower, I should say. But Story will have more. Moving in to our Red Sox team awards. First off, we've got who is your MVP hitter of this year?
Basic, but I'm giving it to Rafi. He's the best hitter on the team. He's the best player on the team.
It's a solid answer. Okay.
It is a sellout
answer. You can't go wrong with that pick.
You can't go wrong.
I think Devers, well, again, I feel like I'm sounding like a Devers pessimist so far. I think Devers is going to have a very good year. In terms of MVP, you need a number two guy to back him up. I think that's going to be Tristan Casas. He is my MVP hitter for the season. I think he's going to have a stellar year. Moving into MVP pitcher, I got Carter Crawford.
He's going to be in my hot take later, but I really think it's going to be close between Cutter and I have Bayo. Maybe I'm selling out, picking the best hitter and the ace to be my MVPs. But you know what? You can't go wrong. I guess I'm kind of going against my own saying. Nervous money doesn't make money. I'm gambling with nervous money, expecting to make a little bit.
I think they're both solid picks. I think Cutter Crawford's going to be a surprise this year. I'm excited to.
I have really high hopes for Cutter Crawford.
I do as well. Like I've come around full form on him from like 2 to 3 years ago when I could not stand him, but I'm very excited for him.
If he brings Hustler Music back,
as his
walkout song, he'll be in Cy Young contention.
I think he auto wins Cy Young actually, and Lil Wayne, obviously a huge Red Sox fan, makes an appearance too.
Obviously, just keep Charles Barkley away from the dugout. You remember that?
Yeah.
I was scrolling through Twitter the other day, and someone just like tossed a stray at Charles Barkley and was like, "Hey, Charles Barkley, remember when you ruined the Red Sox season?"
I
And I was like,
forgot about
"Yeah,
that.
I do remember when Charles Barkley ruined the Red Sox season."
Classic Chuck. Classic Chuck.
Classic.
Next up for our LVP hitters, least valuable hitters on the team. I've got a combination of, I think, just the catchers. I couldn't pick a, I really looked at this lineup up and down, and I was like, I can't see any guy who's going to be like a huge sore spot in this lineup. And again, I said it earlier, I think the catching is just the one spot that is going to be better soon. I think just by default, I'm going to give it to them.
I don't know why there's so much hate on the catchers. I really like Connor Wong this year.
I don't think they're bad. I'm just saying what is coming up next is going to be good. Very
Yeah, it's
good.
going to be, yeah, it's obviously going to be better, but I don't think that that means Connor Wong and, you know, Spanky Reese are going to have a bad season together.
They're not top half of the league catcher duo, though. That's
No,
just
and
kind
they're
of where
not,
I'm
but
at.
they're not expected to be.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they're my LVP hitters.
Fair enough. It was a hard pick because there were so many guys in that same level of talent. I took Grissom only
I hate
because
this
I'm
pick.
afraid that, not because I wanted to, or that I think he's going to be the worst hitter on the team. I just don't think he's going to stay healthy for very long.
I think he's I from what I remember, he's supposed to be back hopefully by the time the Red Sox have their home opener. I think Vaughn Grissom's going to have a really good first full season, like start, like as a starter in the big leagues. I'm very excited for him.
I hope so.
We
I hope so.
actually
But
kind of
we were,
failed.
what, like 2 weeks into spring training and he pulled his groin for
Yeah.
3 months?
Yeah.
That's
He's
not a
out
good
for a little
start.
bit. I was going to say, we kind of failed to talk about him and Ref Snyder. Ref Snyder, you know, he'll platoon a little bit against lefties. But Grissom, I'm very excited. I think, again, he's going to be your second baseman of the future.
I hope so. I hope so.
LVP pitcher. This was also another one, a hard one to pick out one guy for, but for the opposite reason. So I kind of copped out on this answer again, too. I said whoever is in the bullpen besides Kenley, Chris Martin, Josh Winkowski, and Isaiah Campbell.
I mean, that's fair. Kind of a cop-out answer.
Big time cop-out answer, actually. But
But
I mean, you
you're
dialed
not
it
going to be
down. I mean,
wrong.
I like your pick as well.
Yeah, I mean, Jolly Rodriguez is going to suck, guys.
Shocker.
There's no universe in which Jolly Rodriguez is good.
Remember when
And
the Reds?
look, I think I figured it out. People on the Sox, players on the Sox, especially pitchers on the Sox who wear number 57 and have the last name Rodriguez, no shot of being good.
I think he's just destined to fail because you hate him.
I hate Eddie.
Or you
I
hate,
hate
yeah.
Jolie. I think it's a thing.
All right.
Don't wear 57. Have the last name Rodriguez for the Sox.
It's tough timing. Next up for our surprise player, this could either be a hitter or a pitcher. We both actually kind of already set our picks. I've got Isaiah Campbell, and again, he 27 games out of the pen for the Mariners last year, 2.83 ERA, and just to have to trade who's it, Urias, who they traded for to get him, 33 strikeouts too. The walks were a little high. He had 13 walks in 29 innings, but I think Campbell, he's going to be a guy who I think the whole year is going to be in this pen, going to look really good.
I hope so. I have Slayton also out of the pen. As I said earlier, I think he's going to come in and surprise a few people, as he would be the surprise player pick for me. But I think he's going to be someone that they turn to more and more as the season goes on.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Then turning to the disappointing player of the year, who's not going to be the worst player, but undersells expectations. We both had similar thinking on this one. We didn't pick the same guy, but I got Tanner Houck. I just think you're just setting him up to have a disappointing season if he's going to be a starter. That's basically it.
That's why I picked Whitlock, because he's a seventh inning reliever, and they're putting him in the rotation.
I
It's
think
like
it's.
Daniel Bard all over again.
I was gonna say, I think it's more mismanagement or more mis roster construction than that. I
Yeah,
don't
I
see him
mean,
as starters, but
There isn't really anything they could do about it. Wink is so bad as a starter. And then,
well, he was just so good as a reliever last year. I mean, I think all three of them could be really good, but
they're all great relievers, but they're getting thrusted in as starters. So, you know, Hauk, I think, is nasty stuff and didn't come out of the pen at all last year. And Whitlock was hurt. He kind of bounced back and forth. He hasn't really had a true season where he was a starter.
Yep. Yeah.
So I think for how talented he is, he's not a starter. I think he's going to disappoint, unfortunately.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm hoping for big, big bounce back years for both these guys. In terms of most improved player, I've got Brian Baio, and that's not to say that he's not already, you know, pretty good. I think he's going to take the jump to ace. You know, he gets extended in the offseason. You're giving him the ball for opening day. I really think Baio is going to take that jump to the next level and be like, you know, a household name around the league.
I hope so. He's got the talent to be an ace, an all-star, a Cy Young contender. And I hope that this is the year he does it. If it's not this year, I bet it's next year. Spends a lot of time with Pedro, which I think can only do him good. And he's just got gross stuff. I think that's a good pick. My computer just died. Who did I pick?
You got Connor Wong here.
Yeah,
I'll share my
screen.
Three
war player Connor Wong. I'll pull it up on my other screen. Three war Connor Wong. I really like him. I think the catchers are going to surprise. I think he took a big step forward last year, and I think as long as he keeps getting the reps, then I think he's just going to keep improving. Again, it's really kind of his logical next step is going into his prime. That as an everyday starter, he's just going to improve. So I'm taking Connor Wong.
Here's the thing. I don't hate that pick too, especially knowing that, you know, there are guys coming up who are going to give him some competition. So he's got to have a good year. Got to have a good year. Final two categories. We got best call up. I think that my pick here, I could kind of see going either way if he gets called up or not. I could also very easily see him getting traded. But I think if he does get called up, I don't think we're going to see any of the three in terms of Meyer, Anthony, or Teal this year. But a guy who has been in the minors for a little while now, who I think, again, good player, just need to find a spot for him, is Nick York.
Yeah, I'm going to change my answer on the fly because I put Rafaela. He's not a call-up. So I'm going to say CT is the best call-up because I think they're going to trade. They're going to trade Kenley at the trade deadline. And Liam Hendricks will probably not have a very smooth recovery, as it usually just happens to go for Red Sox players. Something always gets in the way. And I think they're going to kind of be damned without a closer, and CT's going to dominate through Portland. They're just going to give him the call.
Closer of the future.
Start him early. He's got gross stuff.
And then this last one, not a real flashy pick from either of us. Rookie of the year on the team. We both got Sadon Rafaela.
I think that's just the slam dunk.
Saw him play in Portland last year. And he hit a nuke shot over the Ross, the green monster they have out there. That was cool to see.
Didn't he have one last night?
I'm not sure. Honestly, I haven't been keeping too
he
close
played
to tabs.
Texas last night.
Yeah, they were the last two nights. Now we're gonna move on. We'll speed through these a little bit faster since they're not Red Sox related, but we've got our MLB awards and our division winners. And I just want to quickly remind people that I picked both Cy Young winners correctly in the 2022 season. Picked Justin Verlander and picked Sandy Alcantara.
Still riding it.
I am. I mean, it's a hell of a pick, both of them.
Do what you do. See if you're right again.
So I'm just going to give both my MVP picks now. I've actually got two shortstops. Wait, no. Well, one of these guys can play shortstop. Doesn't always. In the AL, I've got World Series champion Corey Seager, who I actually forgot he finished second in MVP voting last year. But I think the Rangers are going to be primed for another good year. And Seager was hurt for part of last year. I think with a full season and Ohtani out of the American League, I think Seager is the guy to win the award this year. And then in the National League, I got Corbin Carroll, another guy who made the World Series last year. You know, maybe a little bit of sophomore slump, coming, but I don't see it. He had a really fantastic first year, with the Diamondbacks last year, like just looked very comfortable. And I think he's going to continue to just, you know, perform at such an elite level.
Yeah, I don't think you can really go wrong with either. There is kind of a blessing to Ohtani being gone that there is such a wide open race now in the American League. Like, it really could go six different ways. But I went with J-Rod because, not to spoil it, but I think I picked him last year.
No, I was going to say, I like that pick. I think I picked him last year.
One of us picked him last year. But spoiler alert, I have the Mariners kind of making their big jump this year. And as history has proven in the American League, it's the guy who kind of leads the best team through the American League. And if the Mariners go on a huge run, it's going to be J-Rod who's leading the charge. And then I have Mookie out of the NL because I don't know what's going to happen to Ohtani. I was going to pick Ohtani, but now we don't know what's going to happen with Ohtani. And Mookie's just as solid as they come.
He gets it done.
Can't go wrong with picking Mookie.
Would love to have him on the Red Sox.
That would be sweet.
I need to move past that. It's been almost 5 years. next up, our Cy Young picks. In the AL, I've actually got, I didn't even think about this until we were starting recording. I've got the guy who the Red Sox are going to face on opening day. I've got Luis Castillo. Again, very solid season last year with Mariners. He's adapted nicely to Seattle. I will give a little preview too. I don't have the Mariners making the playoffs. I think they're just going to barely miss it again this year. But I think Castillo is one of the best pitchers in the American League. And then going to the NL, another guy who was close last year, I got Logan Webb with the Giants winning his first Cy Young. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball the last 3 years. Or 2 years, I guess, 2 to 3 years. So I got Castillo and Webb as my Cy Young picks.
I picked Corbin Burns out of the AL. If the Orioles win the division, I think it's going to be because Corbin Burns led that rotation. And I think that there is something to be said that he has such a good catcher and Adley Rutschman behind the plate calling the game. I think that makes a huge difference for a guy who's already talented going to an elite catcher behind the plate who calls a great game. And then the NL Cy Young kind of gone through a trend the last couple of years. NL Cy Young winners come from teams that have won like 83, 85 games. So I was between Logan Webb and Zach Gallen, but I kind of figured in San Francisco, focus isn't really on Logan Webb. It's kind of on Blake Snell. So I'm going to go Zach Gallen. If he has a full year, and now I guess he's got Jordan Montgomery. So maybe that's a little hypocritical to say, but Zach Gallen came so close to it last year, had a great season. I expect him to be better this year with more talent around him in Arizona.
Hey, I picked Gallen last year. I'm a huge advocate for that pick. Rookies of the year. I know he's not going to be on the opening day roster, but I think Jackson Holliday is going to come up on the Orioles at some point and absolutely rake. And then in the NL, I've got Jackson Chourio of the Milwaukee Brewers, one of the top prospects in the game right now. I believe they signed him to an extension already, and they've said that he's going to be on the opening day roster. I did not want to pick the guy Clausen picked to win it all, so I'm going with Chourio of the Brewers.
Yeah, I'm picking Wyatt Langford out of Texas.
That's a great pick.
I think he's going to be a stud. He's going to be a stud. I just don't know if Jackson Holliday's coming up. That's the only thing.
That's fair. I rolled the dice a little bit on that one.
Nervous money doesn't make money. And then I picked the cop-out, Yamamoto.
Not the obvious. He's actually probably like last in the race already.
I mean, he got shelled. He got shelled by the Padres the other day. But I think he'll bounce back. He's a good pitcher. He's got nasty stuff. He'll fall into a groove. And, I mean, those Dodger pitchers really don't turn out poorly for very long.
No. I do want to say, too, how dumb it is, in my opinion, that they played, that those games counted. They came back and then played spring training games. That, I mean,
weird. I didn't like
bizarre.
It.
Bizarre. Midweek, like there, I saw almost no promotion for the games. I mean, I did not watch them. I wasn't waking up middle of the night to watch them, but
I think they were playing at like 3 a.m. LA time.
Yeah, something like that. Like, listen, I'm all for it. I love baseball, but like that is one of the marketing strategies where I'm like, really? Like, I don't know. Doesn't make much sense to me. In terms of managers, I got Brandon Hyde of the Orioles winning it. And then I got David Bell of the Cincinnati Reds. A little bit of a preview possibly for my NL Central pick for managers of the year.
Possibly a sneak preview for my AL Central pick. I have AJ Hinch of the Tigers winning manager of the year. And then I guess kind of the other spoiler, Craig Counsell out of the Cubs. I could see this one going either way. The Cubs are either going to have a great year or it's just going to be turmoil because they got rid of David Ross for no reason.
Yeah,
and picked up Craig Counsell.
That was interesting, but they do have Bellinger back. They've got Amanaga too.
They've got a good team.
From Japan. I like the Cubs this year too. In terms of our AL playoff picks, we'll rifle through these two. In the AL East, or we'll just give our picks per side here. I've got Orioles winning the East. I've got the Central's a head scratcher to me. I could see any of the Royals, the Twins, the Guardians, or the Tigers winning. I think the Tigers are going to have a good year. I've got the Twins winning the Central, and then I've got the Texas Rangers winning the West. And my wild cards, I've got the Houston Astros, the Toronto Blue Jays, and we saw a couple odd teams sneak into the NL wildcard last year. This team made a couple of, I don't want to say splashes in the offseason, but still young. This team's got a special place in my heart. My final wild card, I'm going with the Kansas City Royals.
Forever Royal, baby.
Forever Royal. Got a rep.
Similar, actually, we are pretty different.
We're actually pretty different
kind of across the board here. I have the Orioles in the East as well. I think barring disaster, they're going to win it. I have the Tigers in the Central. I think it's kind of a crapshoot to the end, but the Twins have done it a couple times. I think it's time for the young Tigers to kind of take a step, surprise win the division. The Mariners out West beating out the Rangers. And then my wild cards, I unfortunately have the Yankees just because I think it's improbable to say that the Yankees will have back-to-back bad seasons. What's the deal with Cole?
I believe Cole's out for at least 6 to 8 weeks, but they do have Stroman. We'll see what happens there. Soto. I mean, I like the moves they made in the offseason. I think, again, it's going to come down to the pitching for the Yankees.
They still have who did they sign last year? What's his name?
Oh, Rodon.
They still have Rodon.
I know I'm not the biggest believer in spring training stats, but stinker of a spring.
He played terrible last year, too.
Yeah.
So I would kind of half expect him to turn it around. And then obviously they have Soto. They have Judge. So you really kind of can't count out that offense. It's much more balanced than it was last year, no doubt.
No Josh Donaldson.
Going there. And then other than that, I have the Rangers and the Astros rounding out the AL wild card.
I like those picks. I mean, I think the AL is going to be insanely competitive this year.
Yeah.
We didn't mention the Rays. I think the Rays, you know, always make noise. I think, you know, the Angels are going to come up short again, but you never know if, you know, flip the page. Like, you never know. Even the Guardians are pesky. Didn't even mention the Sox. Like, I'm hoping they sneak into a wild card. I just think the AL is really good. Like, besides the White Sox and the A's, I think really any other team, I would not be surprised if they made the playoffs.
Yeah, I think there's so many of those teams. There's obviously the upper echelon, but there's a lot of teams that are going to be within, you know, 80 to 90 wins that I think takes up most of the American League.
Agreed. I think it's going to be tight. In the National League, I've got the Atlanta Braves winning the East. Again, very dominant. Cincinnati Reds breakthrough, win the Central. Another both Central divisions, a little bit weaker this year. And got to stick with the Dodgers out West. I mean, that's just such a powerhouse of a team. We got the Diamondbacks getting a wild card again, the Phillies as well. And then my third wild card, I'm going to give to the Chicago Cubs to avenge their collapse of last season.
I have the Braves also in the East, the Cubs in the Central. My thing with the Reds is like you just don't know what you're going to get. Ellie is great, but he hits like 230.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter Green should be great. I mean, there's a chance that they make a run.
They're a young team, very young team. I think the Reds are the team of the next couple of years, though, in the Central.
They're going to be fun to watch without a doubt, but I'm taking the conservative route and sticking with my Cubs. Going out west, it's kind of obviously the Dodgers. If they somehow lose that division, then it's just going to be mayhem. And for the wild cards, I have the Phillies again. I actually took the Mets because I think the Mets are kind of due for a bone. They've spent so much money that it's almost kind of incredible that they haven't made the playoffs at this point. So I think that they're going to find their way in. And then I have the Giants as well, just because Logan Webb is a stud. They added a lot of pieces that I really liked.
Oh,
I
like
love
Blake
the Solaire
Snell?
Signing. I love the Chapman one. They made one that I really don't like at all. That I'll say in a second. But
fair.
I didn't even think it's a hot take. It's not. It's really not a bold prediction. By the way,
I kind of forgot the Giants loaded up. I mean, the West is going to be competitive again. I mean, didn't mention the Padres either. Like, you know, who knows?
They have like 8 shortstops playing.
Yeah, all over. My World Series pick this year, I am going to say that the Orioles win it over the Phillies.
Wow.
They break through.
That's a bold prediction. 2 years in?
A little bit. I think so. I think Corbin Burns, I think they get a, I think they're going to get a starter at the deadline. I think the Orioles are, I mean, sucks that they're in the AL East. They're going to be very scary.
Interesting take. I kind of went the bigger market. I went Braves and Mariners. I really don't. It's funny that neither of us believe in the Dodgers to make the World Series.
I mean, that's a boring pick. They collapse every year to, I mean, by our standards, they're either going to lose to like the Mets, Giants, or Cubs. So.
Yeah, that would actually be so funny if they lost to the Mets.
Yeah, or the
Giants.
Can
you imagine?
Yeah, hilarious.
But I have Brave. I actually have Braves over Mariners. I think they're just way too talented not
Braves,
to win a World Series.
I think the Braves are going to win another one within the next few years as well. Yeah, but all right, our last segment here, we've got our two bold predictions, one for the Red Sox, one for the entire MLB. Klaus, you want to start us off here?
Yeah, do you want me to give them both or just my Sox one?
Let's do both.
Going to say Cutter leads the rotation in ERA. I don't know what that ERA is going to be, but that's my hot take.
I don't hate that at all. I think it's a good take.
I think it's pretty it's pretty lukewarm, but I think it's bold enough. And then my bold prediction, which isn't really even bold at all, is to say that Blake Snell has a ERA over 4 next year. I mean, this guy stinks. You know how many times
you are an all-time hater of this guy. It's
you know
unreal.
How many times someone has won a Cy Young and also led the league in walks? It was twice.
I don't want.
And the last guy that did it was like Tungsten Arm Wilson in 1912. It just doesn't happen. This guy stinks. He's either a Cy Young or like a 4.
I'm not even going to battle you on this. We've talked way more Blake Snell this offseason than my brain can handle, and I'm excited to move on from it.
I'm excited for him to suck.
Not
and the
gonna,
Celtics
I'm,
to lose the finals.
All right.
They blew a 28-point lead yesterday.
30.
Yeah. They're not winning either.
All right. My
and
Red
Lamar
Sox.
Jackson's a running back. Round it out.
All right. I'm going to put you on mute. My Red Sox hot take is one of their players this year is going to finish top 3 in MVP voting.
Do you have a pick? Or just anyone?
If I'm going to dial it down a little more, I'm going to say Tristan Casas.
Casas has a huge year.
Top 3 in MVP voting.
I'd love it.
I'm riding that. My bold league-wide prediction. Your prediction isn't even that bold. Like, just a bad take.
It's going to come true.
Nah, it's just a bad take. Last year, my bold prediction came true. I guess half true because I don't want to recognize it. But I said there was going to be a perfect game, which there was. Not the guy you want.
The worst guy possible.
Not the guy you want to do it. This year, I'm kind of going along a similar line. I don't think this has happened since 2017. I'm going to say that a player hits four home runs in a game this year.
I like it. I love that.
I think it's fun.
Do you have a prediction of who it's going to be?
Oh, this is like call my shot. I mean, who the last three guys to do it were JD Martinez, Scooter Gennett, and Josh Hamilton. Like, how the hell Scooter Gennett did? You just need lightning in a bottle for one game.
I could see like Pete Alonso doing it.
I was going to say, I could see him doing it. I think, I hate to say this, I think it's going to be Juan Soto, that short little porch.
Yeah, right.
I could see Juan Soto doing it.
He could feast.
I could see
just
it.
Four flyouts that catch a little strong wind.
Literally.
In the middle of summer.
Or a guy like O'Neill Cruz. Those are my two picks. Soto and O'Neill Cruz.
All right.
And now our final prediction here. What is the Red Sox hype song going to be in their pregame montage video? 3 years ago, it was The Business. 2 years ago, it was The Motto. And last year, it was that song called Another like
Timmy
Level?
Timmy Trumpets or something.
Timmy Trumpets. It was a pretty solid song.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say, I mean, you got to go out on a limb here. I'm just saying they bring The Business back. Vibes haven't been good since then. Just bring it back.
They should bring The Business back. They're not going to. My prediction is Sweet Escape by Gwen Stefani. That would be hilarious.
That'd be hilarious. We got some questions actually. We already answered these once, but we'll answer them again. But no one heard us answer them. But they are.
I actually don't remember the questions. So
I don't either. Oh, I remember now. First question comes in from Matt. He says, "What's the worst company/organization to deal with?" I said the DMV.
Yeah, that's not a bad take.
I'm trying to remember what you said.
You know what? I actually have a take now.
Oh.
The Sausage King.
No.
Not the OG Sausage King. That guy's a tank. Story time. I'm leaving Lansdowne on Friday night, and our Uber is like a minute away, and I'm starving. And I just see like the heaven's gates open right in front of the Sausage King. And I'm like, thank you, God. I have a $20 bill in my pocket. So I go up. I'm like, I'm starving. How quick can you make me a sausage? I was like, I have cash. And he's like, I was like, how much is it? He's like, $10. I'm like, which I think that's kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was like, I really didn't care. But I was like, I have a 20. Can you break it? He goes, no, I'll give you a deal. 2 for $20. I go, no, I want one. He goes, I'll give you a deal. 2 for $20. I'm like, that's not a deal. I only want one. He's like, no, I'll wrap it up. You can save it for later. I was like, no, I want one. And he's like, I give you two. And then I walked away. So it's going to be the Sausage King on a Friday night in March.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. He totally lost my business.
Yeah, but like you can't, if this is not the OG Sausage King.
So that's why I'm saying the Sausage King in March.
Fair, fair. He's in his spring training too.
The other guy would have set me up.
I love the other guy. Sits right on the corner of what is it, Van Ness in Jersey Street? Or
he's right behind home plate. I probably would have just given him a $10 tip.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. What do you want to carry, a sausage, a second sausage around?
Can't that would be disgusting. That.
Disgusting.
Double gripping sausages in the Uber. Cut that.
Yeah, that's great. No, not standing. Sorry. I actually saw the Sausage King at the Southeast St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Really?
Yeah, he had his truck set up. I was like, man,
was he selling sausage?
He was selling sausages. I live like in a different part of Southie not where he was, but yeah, he was set up.
That's awesome.
Next question comes in from Matt. He says, what's the least amount of work you've done in a day? Back when I worked at the old ice cream shop, there'd be days in the winter that like two people would come in, wouldn't work a lot, just watch like some YouTube.
Yeah, I think what do I want to say? Yeah, I mean, pretty much like anytime you start a new job, you're just like following someone like a lost puppy.
Yep.
You do nothing that day.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Final question comes in from Matt. He says, what's the show you've rewatched the most?
Either Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Hilarious show. Hilarious show. I quote it all the time.
Wade Boggs episode.
The Implication.
That is a hilarious clip.
That might be one of the best scenes in TV history.
So funny.
That one and Swamp People. If you haven't seen it, it's on Hulu. Mm,
I remember.
Just a bunch of rednecks hunting gators. Nice. Great show.
Nice.
Great show.
I'd have to go with like probably either The Office in terms of like a real series, or like Family Guy seems to always be on.
Yep.
Watching that a lot.
I think we mentioned this in the first recording. Between like TikTok and YouTube and TV, I've probably seen every, like, just combined every episode of Family Guy.
That and South Park too. Like, yeah, there was like a string there with South Park. Yep. It was like every video on my For You page. And then Matt also said, what's the most underrated segment of Gombridge? We talked about this a little bit in the old recording, but I was saying like some of the old segments we don't do a ton anymore. I want to bring them back, like Notes with Clawson, which you kind of do in the beginning of the show anyways. What was it? Laughing at the Yankees. We'll have Alex Cora Impact Player of the Week come back. Obviously, no more Stevie Locks, but underrated. It's not even underrated. Questions with Matt. Matt, we appreciate 150. Well, not 150. It's been a while. Been like 3 years of questions. But Matt's kept this burning segment alive for a long time with some insanely original questions for quite some time.
He just keeps loading the bank.
It's like the torch at the Olympics. It never runs out of fire. Like the flame just keeps burning. It's unreal. It's unreal. You got anything else before we close out the ninth?
Shohei Ohtani, apparently addicted gambler.
Yeah, I honestly, I'm kind of gonna, not because I want to. I also want to kind of wrap this up a little bit, but like I honestly just am kind of curious to see what more details come out. Like the story was a little bit hazy at first. He came out with that statement yesterday saying that he didn't, you know about this, which, you know, it sucks. If his, you know, one of his best friends stole $4.5 million from him, but weird situation. And I'm just interested to see how it progresses.
Yeah. I think, I really don't know how he gets out of this without suspension.
No, I don't think he will.
I don't know. I mean, I don't want him to get suspended. I would hate if the best and most exciting player in baseball had to take time away from the game because he got caught for gambling. But, I mean, there's no way that the story that they told yesterday is true, that Ipe just basically funded himself and sent all this money through Ohtani's account to a bookie without Ohtani knowing, and he lied and all that kind of stuff. I think, unfortunately, I think Ohtani's tied into this. Will anything happen out of it? I don't know.
Would it surprise me? No, but we shall see. We shall see. Closing out the ninth, what do we got?
Go Sox, man. Go Sox. Surprise, shock the world. They're in that category of teams that could just come out of nowhere and surprise.
Could certainly be surprising this year. I've kind of got two closing out the ninth takes, or not takes. One of them is kind of my first closing out the ninth thought. Is congratulations to Tyler Murray, who, if you don't know who that is, has been the Woo Sox announcer the last, I guess, 3 years since they've been in Worcester, getting promoted to help fill in on WEI for some Red Sox games this year, which is awesome. I know Tyler doing some Hockey East games. I haven't done games with him, but you know, we had him on the show. He's a great guy. So, you know, congratulations to him. If you're listening to the Sox on the radio, he's a great announcer. So excited for him there. And then in terms of the team, I'm just pumped. We're getting closer to spring. If anyone, we're nearing the end of, we're just spring. Season? Yeah. Spring is on the horizon. Work starts to wind down for me in the spring, which will be a nice break. Got the Red Sox, we got sun, we got beer at Fenway Park. All starts on Thursday. Brian Bello, Luis Castillo out. I almost called it Safeco Field. T-Mobile Park in Seattle. I am pumped for this one. We haven't really talked about this much, but maybe we'll rip some 2-episode weeks, some quick ones. I am excited for this year to get Gonbridge back to being more, more consistent on social media, more consistent episodes. And we're going to be bringing you a lot of coverage for this 2024 season, which we're going to see what it holds. Kind of a mixed bag, but looking forward to it. So if you enjoyed what you listened to on our season preview episode, don't forget to follow us on Instagram at Gonbridge Podcast and Twitter at Gonbridge. Don't forget to subscribe to our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Stitcher. And we will be back very soon, I promise you, within the next week with episode 151 and a recap of the first Red Sox action of the season. See ya!